very pleased to be here. Compared to some of you, I've been a little bit more on the edge of the glow of Art Warwick's career, but I've always been aware of his work, and I have great respect for his contributions, read many of his papers, so it's a real honor to be here. Ingi Demirkandla, as she likes to be called, is now a postdoc who has done a lot of the work that I'm going to talk about. And Daniel Kaplan works at the Savannah River National Lab. He has done all the chemistry work that's involved in this. And Robert Field and John Coates are colleagues that have helped along the way. So what I'm going to describe are the Savannah River Natural Laboratory lysimeter experiments. I'll give you a little detail about that. Then we'll talk about plutonium reactive transport model development with transient flow in the soil and root water uptake. That simply means extraction of water by the roots and nothing more. And we'll compare that with experiments and then consider the case where perhaps plutonium can get into the roots and move with the transpiration stream upward. And we'll see how that compares with experiment and then some conclusions. So this describes the experiments. They were initiated in the 1980s. And here you can see that the field duration was approximately 11 years. So these little lysimeters set in the field, they were open to the surrounding climate, natural precipitation. And then any leachate that was came out was collected. And a plutonium source containing plutonium in various oxidation states, either reduced or oxidized, as we call it. And I'm going to talk about just the case of the reduced plutonium. And at the end of the field duration, there were cores taken through the center here, and then the activity distributions were measured. This shows the type of field conditions that existed. The lysimeters were surrounded by these corrugated metal circles, and right below that is one of the lysimeters. And natural vegetation was allowed to grow on the lysimeters. This gives you some idea of the dynamics of the climate. Here we have rainfall data that was collected. In our simulations, we actually use daily rainfall rates. These are just the monthly rates. And so with the rainfall recorded and the lysimeter drainage measured, we could calculate the main fluxes in the system, which would be the flux entering the surface, the flux leaving the bottom, and the loss due to evapotranspiration. So our modeling is not aimed at predicting fluxes. It's aimed at finding out what the implications of the fluxes are, which I consider a much simpler problem than trying to make flux predictions right from the beginning. All right, this shows the results of the of three experiments. This is the depth into the lysimeter is in the vertical. And even though we have depth indicated here in these equations that I'm going to present, the coordinate z is positive upward. So it goes from the bottom up to the top. And these are three cores from three different lysimeters where the location of the source of the plutonium, a spiked filter paper, was located. And you see a fairly consistent distribution of plutonium below, above, and then you see this rather ragged portion here that goes really all the way up to the surface. So, and probably one thing I should say is that these distributions, if you tried to simulate the downward movement with just retardation and advection, the curve would never go below, let's say, about here. So this stuff, given the retardation factor of the plutonium. So this material here is anomalous. We need an explanation for how this got to be so deep, deeper than expected. And the explanation that we came upon was oxidation and reduction reactions taking place on the surfaces, in the adsorbed phase. And so we have two transport equations, one for oxidized plutonium, the other for reduced. There's a tremendous difference in the mobility, with the oxidized being much more mobile than the reduced plutonium by a factor of more than 1,000. And so these are advection, dispersion, reaction equations, with the reactions coupling the two equations. And they were solved numerically with the correct climate. And the flow part, of course, the velocities are in the transport equation. So to get the velocities, we had to solve the one-dimensional unsaturated flow equation, which we set up so that it would work well in saturated or unsaturated conditions. And this is the term that simulates the uptake of the water by the plant roots. And so it's the rate of water extracted by the roots per unit volume of soil. And it's represented as a plant stress function that is that's been used by many many others. In fact, it was developed by Fettes. Relative root density and potential transpiration. And we actually measured the relative root density on cores containing the grass roots in the conditions in which the lysimeters existed. And this shows three data sets. And when we say relative root density, it's simply the way we got that, it was root mass per unit volume of soil normalized to have a unit area underneath the curve. And so three different cores, you see these three different results. And in our simulations, we mostly used that middle relative root density. Here's the results of the simulations. And with both a steady state net downward flow model, which was very simple, and the highly dynamic model, which had all the evapotranspiration and the precipitation in it, we were able to easily predict the distribution below the source. But we fail to get that distribution above. So after we did these simulations, and you see here the differences are the values for the oxidation rate constant and the reduction rate constant. So you get some feeling for the sensitivity to the chemical reactions. But we don't do anything with this portion of the data. And here you see the retardation factors that were used. These largely were not adjusted. This was really fixed by, and it should be 10,000, not 10 point, that should be a comma there. And the oxidized one was about 15. So having movement in the soil alone, at least initially, we could not simulate the above source plutonium. So we tried a number of things, because originally we visualized that the flow upward into the denser root area would carry the plutonium up. And so we modified our root distribution to maximize upward flow. And even though I haven't indicated here, we also applied unrealistically large evaporation losses just to make sure that there wasn't some mechanism to move that plutonium upward. We included hysteresis in our simulation because that would maximize the hydraulic conductivity when the water content is falling, which is when the water would be moving upward due to evapotranspiration or movement to the roots. And we also looked at making the reaction rate constants air content dependent. So we didn't know if this effect actually occurred since the oxidation reductions taking place on the surfaces. But we perturbed the system to cause more oxidation, more mobile plutonium under drying conditions. And again, you see that while we got a little bit of an effect here, we really didn't change anything much at all. And the reason that it doesn't change is that as the soil dries, and the characteristics are represented by the Van Genuchten functions, which we could fit to the soil quite nicely. And there were also some measurements based on centrifuge measurements of hydraulic conductivity. The soil would dry, and the hydraulic conductivity would drop so quickly that you couldn't get long-range movement of water. The water would take the shortest route to the distance to the roots, and then move upward in the roots. So that wasn't going to do the problem. And we tentatively concluded here that the plutonium must be entering the roots and moving upward in the xylem. Question again. So we developed a transport model for the xylem. Essentially, it was an evection dispersion equation, and it was driven by two source terms, which was for the reduced and the oxidized plutonium. We had no reactions taking place in the xylem, so we had the reaction efficiency, the concentration of plutonium in the pore fluid, and the uptake rate into the roots. And we put this efficiency in there because we weren't sure how well the plutonium could get through the root tissue into the xylem, and we wanted to have a way of accounting for that. And these are what the equations look like in the roots. There's no reaction terms, and these are advection dispersion terms, and there's an extra term here because there's Z variation. The xylem cross-sectional area, what we call the root xylem soil area, varies. The flux, the velocity in the root xylem varies because of the increasing flow through the xylem as you go upward. So there's a Z dependence that has to be considered. And when we included that, we had no trouble getting this vertical effect in the measured activity. And we're really in the process of doing this now, so we're actually only in the beginnings of simulating the movement into the plant roots. And it seems like we're going to be able to capture this part, although I have a feeling that this is going to be a soil phenomenon, this piece of data here that we missed. Not a plant root phenomenon, although it might be due to modification of the hydraulic conductivity of the soil by the plant roots. And I saw heard two papers yesterday that talked about this, and I was real happy to get that information. So we couldn't account for the upward movement by looking at soil phenomena, but small amounts of plutonium uptake by plant roots appears able to account for this, the upward movement. It's also consistent with the previously simulated downward movement. So as we change parameters affecting the upward movement, we don't destroy our fit to the lower distribution. An interesting thing to us was that the realistic xylem cross-sectional areas imply high flow velocities, hundreds of centimeters per hour, orders of magnitude faster than what the stuff moves in the soil. Under hot and wet conditions. So that's the reason that you see that vertical, almost vertical uniform distribution with a lot of scatter, because what gets into the xylem gets swept upward with this high velocity, mainly because the xylem cross-sectional area is so small. And so that effect produces the correct shape, and our simulations imply that the plutonium should have moved into the above ground grass. We can't keep it out of the grass with any reasonable values. And so the people at the Savannah River site noticed a residue on the surface, but they attribute it to atmospheric deposition. Now they're doing an isotope analysis, and they should be able to determine if that material came from their source or if it was atmospheric or some mix. So that's about where we are now. And once again, I really appreciate the opportunity to present this to you. Thank you.
We have time for one question. Yes, Green.
Well, see, every the stuff did not get analyzed until literally 20 years after it was emplaced, and 10 or 12 years after the core was collected. So there wasn't much left, and we also simulated the storage period while the core was sitting in a refrigerator for 10 years. So we simulated the diffusion. It was stored horizontally. And according to our simulations, there was almost negligible movement.